My first guest in this edition is Pete Sepp, Vice President for Communications at the National Taxpayers Union. We want to get his thoughts on John McCain's new proposal to set aside $300 billion of the $700 billion government bailout plan to buy up bad loans and refinance mortgages with struggling homeowners at their devalued rate. We also want to get his thoughts on how voters ought to compare and contrast the competing tax plans of Senators McCain and Obama. And Pete, it's always great to have you with us.
Always great to be here.
Well, Senator McCain certainly brought this out pretty early on in the debate, and it was really the main news out of the debate that was anything different than previous statements by these candidates. He wants to take a big portion of the $700 billion bailout plan, about $300 billion worth, and use that to buy up bad mortgages, refinance them at devalued rates, and then restructure the mortgages with the struggling homeowners. What's the impact on the taxpayer, and is this a good idea or not?
Well, I think that unlike some of the other schemes that the $700 billion bailout would finance, this one probably has an even greater risk. What we're talking about here is the government basically taking on loans that are already going sour, that are already being financed by people with shaky problems in their own finances. And so I think that in one case, this may be an even riskier proposition for taxpayers than bailing out Wall Street. The other thing is, this is very similar in concept to what the Federal Housing Administration has already been given the authority to do. Back in the fall, around July, a bailout package passed that authorized the FHA to renegotiate and hold up to $300 billion of these loans. The big change is that the terms of the mortgage itself could be renegotiated by the federal government involuntarily. It's like changing contracts.
Pete, another idea that's been floated out there, this one I believe by the Treasury Secretary, and that's that given the financial crisis we're in right now, the government may be in the market to actually purchase significant shares of banks. How should we view that?
This should be viewed as another very dangerous move. What we're talking about here is federal government ownership of companies, not only ownership in terms of stock warrants, but maybe actual shares that the government would hold over a long-term period of time. That only gets Washington further involved in the markets, and the history of that has not been a very kind one to taxpayers.
Well, before folks get too depressed about that, let's talk about the varying tax policies of Senator McCain and Obama. They went back and forth Tuesday night. They did the same quite a bit in the first debate, and I'm sure it'll happen again during the final debate as well as during their ad campaigns and stump speeches. Basically, what it boils down to is Senator Obama saying that he would raise taxes back to pre-Bush administration levels for those making $250,000 a year or more. Anyone making less than $200,000 per year, he says, will get a tax cut. When you run the numbers, is that likely to be reality if, in fact, he gets elected?
Certainly not. If we are to believe his figure that only 5% of taxpaying Americans would see their bills go up, well, that income cutoff, according to IRS data, would be closer to $150,000 or $175,000, not $250,000. In addition, there are even left-of-center think tanks like the Tax Policy Center of the Brookings Institution who say Obama's figure is far too optimistic, more like the top 20% of taxpayers could end up with higher bills. If that's the case, very surprisingly, this could nail Americans in the $75,000 to $85,000 range, depending on their financial and tax circumstances. That's because the IRS's figures show the tax system is already incredibly skewed toward making the wealthy or even the middle class pay a whole lot. The bottom half of income earners pay less than 3% of all income taxes. So it only follows that through Obama's rhetoric, what he's really talking about is giving a whole lot of folks who don't pay taxes anyway even more relief.
Pete, let me ask you to clear something up. That was a big point of contention in Tuesday's debate. John McCain saying that even if Obama sticks to the taxation schedule that he's laid out there, many, many small businesses will end up getting caught in that $250,000 and above bracket, and they're going to have to lay folks off or even fire them because they simply can't afford to keep them. Obama says very few small businesses fall into that category. What's the truth?
I would say somewhere in between. A majority of small businesses, like sole proprietorships, consultancies, outfits with three or four people, they may fall under the $250,000 mark. But if you're talking about firms that might employ 10 or 15 people, certainly they would be over that amount. And when you look at the IRS's statistics, out of some 3.8 million tax returns falling above $200,000, there is up to half of them reporting income from a partnership or an S corporation or some kind of small business entity. Now, that doesn't mean they're all solely small businesses, but it means a lot of folks there either own a business or participate in one on the side.
About 90 seconds left with Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, there's a lot of discussion as well about what Senator Obama would do with dividend and capital gains tax rates. What is he saying? What can we expect there?
Interestingly, he seems to be moderating his position. In the earlier days of the campaign, you heard Obama saying, well, we're just simply going to restore capital gains and dividends taxes to the rates you would normally pay on any other kind of income. And for upper income earners, that would mean a return to the 39.6% rate. Then he started saying, well, we're going to keep it at 28% or less. Now he's saying, well, maybe we can hold it at 20%. That would be an increase from the current 15% rate. So I think that right now we can expect that the senator will probably go a little easier on investment taxes than he initially suggested.
And John McCain, of course, wants to make the Bush tax cuts permanent. He also wants to cut the corporate tax rate. What impact would that have?
That would actually be very beneficial for the U.S. economy. Our corporation income tax system is the most burdensome in the entire industrialized world when you look at the state-level income taxes on businesses as well. So that would help our competitiveness. I also think that continuing the tax cuts that were enacted back in 2001 and 2003 would send a far stronger and more encouraging signal to markets than this bailout ever has.
And Pete, real quickly, Barack Obama has said that despite our very high corporate tax rate right now, it's not as high as it looks because of all the loopholes. How accurate is that?
In some cases, yes, and I think that that calls for more reform of the loopholes, having a broader base, but it also means lowering the rate, and that is something that Senator Obama has said, well, maybe we'll look at it. I think we need to be firmer in lowering the rate.
Pete, very interesting to understand exactly what these candidates are thinking and proposing. Thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Pete Sepp is Vice President of Communications for the National Taxpayers Union. This is Dateline Washington.